first book. And in Matthew 5, verses 15 and 16, it says, if you have a light, you will not put it underneath a bowl, would you? That would be silly because you wouldn't be able to see anything. But if you have a light, you will hold it up high so that everyone in the house can see. And the Bible and Jesus says he wants us to be just like that, to hold our light up so that others will see our good works and glorify God in heaven. That means, what that means is that God wants us to use our mouth and our actions to be a light, Jesus' light, in the darkness. Because when you, let's say you say some nice words, or you're kind, or you're loving, or you're patient with others, they will say, wow, why is Isla like that? Why is our people so nice? And then you have a chance to say, well, the reason I am like that is because I have Jesus inside my heart. And they can see much more clearly. This past week in Kids Church, I heard somebody tell me that you guys learned about a lady. She was a special lady who let God shine her light, his light through her. Do you guys remember who she was? You weren't here? She was a queen? Yes, Esther. She was Queen Esther, and God used her to shine the light in the darkness. And because she allowed God to use her, they were able to save all the Jewish people from that were in Persia at that time. But we don't have to go to Persia, or we don't have to be a queen. I don't think anybody here is a queen, right? We don't have to be the queen or somebody important. God can use any one of us who have Jesus inside our heart, who allow Jesus to shine through our words and through our actions, and not put it under a bushel, not put it in underneath a bowl so that nobody can hide. Hold it up high so that everybody can see. Hold it up high by every chance we have to say nice things to people around us. They will see the light. Or your parents, when they are at work, to not be shy to say, I am a Christian, and shine Jesus' light so that those around will be able to see. Because, you know, it is sad. There are many people in the world that are living in darkness. They do not know Jesus, and they do not know where they are going. They do not know why they are alive. They do not know so many things. They are like stumbling around in the dark. But if we, just by living, coming next to them with our light, by being nice, by telling them about God's love, by telling them why they have a reason for being alive, we can shine the light for them in the darkness. And their life that is dark will be more light because we are just walking, living our life next to them. There are people living in darkness all around us. In your school, I bet there's many people, many children and teachers that are living in dark. I bet on the bus, when you go home today, there will be people, maybe even some people in your home. Maybe your uncle or your aunt or your grandma, or your maybe maybe your papa does not know Jesus. And you have the chance to be a light for them, every single one of us. Matthew 5 says, shine your light so that others will see your good works and they will glorify God in heaven. Today, we're going to learn a little bit more about this special lady, Queen Esther. Yes, she is a very special lady in the Bible. I like the story of Esther. And I know that James is going to tell us the story, a little bit more about the story. But what before that, we are going to ask the junior kids, all junior kids, if you are age 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 and a half, 4 and 9 tenths, 4 and 354, 355ths. If you are under 5 years old, you can go with Miss Natalie. Joel will show us the way. You'll show everybody the way, right? Okay. Wait for everybody to catch up to you. And then the rest of us, let's wait for them to leave. And then we can go sit together with our parents and listen to the story that James is going to tell us, okay? See you guys later. You can sit with me if you like. I would like for you to sit with me, okay?
Thank you, Dr. Maneuver. Thank you, kids. Yeah, it's been pretty great. I really enjoyed your music today. It touched my heart. Let our light shine. So this, does anybody celebrate Purim this past week? Anybody celebrate any? Okay. Well, let me show you about it. Purim is the Hebrew word. There it is, and it means lots. L-O-T-S. It's kind of like a game you play you throw things around. And sometimes we think of dice. We play with dice or little things that have numbers on them. But this is different. It's these little chips, things people would play with to determine what God's will is. Well, it comes from that word, Purim. But it's a Jewish holiday that commemorates the deliverance of the Jewish people in the ancient Persian Empire from destruction in the wake of a plot by Haman, a story recorded in the biblical book of Esther. And that's what Dr. Maneuver was sharing with you kids, you know, about that lady who let her light shine. And generally what people do of the Jewish faith, they read the book of Esther on the eve of Purim and the day of. The whole book, it's 10 chapters. They give money gifts to at least 2 poor people, and they send gifts of 2 kinds of food to at least 1 person. And they feast and drink the type of beverages that make you happy, okay? So Purim in 2018 was just this past week. It was on Wednesday. It began at sundown, and then it ended on sundown on Thursday, March the 1st. And here's some pictures of how our Jewish friends celebrate Purim in 2018. That looks kind of fun, doesn't it? And kids doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And parades. This is from Jerusalem, actually. That's a guy walking there with that donkey outfit. That's fun. But they eat these Osni Haman snacks. Has anybody ever had one of these things? But anyway, it's part of their food, and like I said, they like to drink and have a lot of fun. So that's the way Purim is even celebrated today. And it's all because of Esther, and this is the story of Esther, a Purim tale, which the Jewish people and friends will for sure read at least twice if they're faithful in keeping Purim. But we're going to look at the biblical story, but it all starts with this guy here. This is King Ahasuerus, sometimes referred to as Xerxes the First, but King Ahasuerus, he's a good-looking guy, isn't he? I like that beard. I like the hair, and anyway, he's an intense king, right? Well, he's king of this Persian Empire, which stretched from India to Ethiopia, and you see where Jerusalem is, the red dot, and then you see the other red dot is Susa, and that's where most of the story of Esther takes place, is right there in Susa, and what had happened, the empire had expanded so. And the king was going to lay back and have a 6-month celebration. And so everybody from his provinces, you know, from India to Ethiopia, there's 127 provinces. And these guys were coming to Susa, and they had a display of the king's wealth. And for 180 days, that's 6 months, they had celebrations. Then they ended it with a big party of 7 days. DB is Party City, right? I mean, sometimes these guys, I've gotten up in the morning, go to work, and I see guys coming off the ferry, and they just got finished with their party. And I wonder, how do you do that? I can't see how guys do that. But back then, King Ahasuerus, celebrating his kingdom, had a seven-day party. And it was so big that he invited everyone who lived in Susa to come to those seven-day party. And whether we were wealthy people, no matter what station in life, men and women, boys and girls, were all invited to the party. But the women went into the palace with the queen, and the king and his gang were outside in the courtyard of the garden. Elaborate, if you read the Bible details of how that place was decorated. But to top it off, at the last day, he said, you know, what we need is a party stopper, a showstopper. And that's Queen Vashti. We need to get her in here and let her liven up the place. And so he said to his servants, bring Queen Vashti before the king with her royal crown in order to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was lovely to look at. So to bring, you know, you wonder out, well, king, this is pretty good, you know, but you haven't seen anything till you've seen my wife. How beautiful she is, and she's going to come in here in her regalia with her crown and everything. You're going to see it. But boys and girls, you know what Queen Vashti did? Do you remember? She didn't want to come in. She said, no, thank you. I'm not coming. So what's a king to do? I mean, we've been partying hard for 7 days, and now I want to crown it. You know, this is the way we're going to end. I'm going to give my wife respect and honor, and she comes in. No way I'm going out there, she says. So what's a king to do? Well, he seeks advice from his wife's advisors. And so boys and girls, moms and dads, when we don't know what to do, we go seek advice from people, right? People we trust, and there's safety in a multitude of counselors. The more you have to give you input to think about the way you should go. And so this is what King Ahasuerus' advisor said. If it please the king, let a royal order go out from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, so that it may not be repealed, that Vashti is never again to come before King Ahasuerus. That's pretty harsh. Never again. And let the king give her royal position to another who is better than she. Wow. That was big time, wasn't it? And then, let beautiful young virgins be sought out for the king. Okay, we're going to replace her, and so let's go out to all these provinces and look for a new wife. And this is the time to introduce you to Esther, okay? Are there any Esthers out there? I don't know. Oh, there's an Esther, I see her, Esther Young. Who else? Who?
Callahan.
Callahan? Esther? Oh, okay. Okay, well, here's some artist impressions of what Esther looked like. Okay. What do you think all these have in common? She's beautiful, right? She's pretty. Oh, well, we can't let this guy out of the story. This is her cousin, Mordecai, and he's an older cousin. I've got a cousin where he's younger. He's about half my age, and I'm older than him. But this is kind of what was going on here. Esther's mom and dad are no longer living. She's an orphan. But this guy named Mordecai raised her, and he's very important. And you'll see as the story unfolds. He was bringing up Hadassah, that is Esther, the daughter of his uncle, for she had neither father nor mother, and the young woman had a beautiful figure and was lovely to look at. And when her father and her mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. Hadassah. Do you remember the little girl who used to come to church here named Hadassah? When I first heard it, I said, oh, her name's Hadassah. And I said, huh? What do you mean, Hadassah? And they remind me, you know Esther's name. And I said, oh, yeah. I mean, it's not kind of the name that just sticks in my mind. If she said Myrtle, I would remember Myrtle because I've had many friends named Myrtle. Has anybody got any friends named Myrtle? No Myrtles. We got violets and rose and all kinds of things, but Myrtle is a flower. Did you know that? Okay, look at that. That's what it looks like. Very delicate, very beautiful flower. Myrtle. Some book I read, is it Myrtle the Turtle or something like that? Do you remember? But Myrtle is a beautiful name of a flower, and we just don't use that too much, but it's a beautiful flower, and that's who Hadassah meant. So Hadassah meant Myrtle, but Esther means star. Boom. Light. There's the light shining, the star. Mordecai, little man. All right, so much for names. Okay. But Esther was chosen. The king guys came around. They said, hey, yeah, you can come join the beauty contest. You're great. And you know how long she had to be prepared? For 1 year, these special beauty treatments and his perfume and lotions and all this kind of stuff. Well, she was actually such a favorite among the guy who's head of the beauty contest, Haggai. You know what he did? He gave her 7 helpers, not just one, 7 maidens that help her get ready for what? To be presented to the king. What do you think the king thought when he saw her? She's so-so, you know, I've seen them. You know, I got plenty of pretty women in my kingdom. No, he said the king loved Esther more than all the women, and she won grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And there she is, all queened, crowned, beautiful. Is that the end of the story? No. I think next week at Children's Church, they'll go a little bit deeper. So I might be stealing some thunder from you guys. I'm sorry for that. But anyway, we'll go on with the story. But it doesn't end there. That's a beautiful story in itself. Mordecai had asked Queen Esther to do one thing, to keep this secret, not to tell anybody that she was Jewish, that she was Israeli, if you want to speak in today's term. Okay, don't tell anybody that you're Jewish. And that was a secret she was to keep. Shortly after she became queen, Mordecai, he's the guy on this side of the pillar listening to these two men talk, and that's Bigthan and Teresh. Bigthan and Teresh are what I call the angry assassins. They're angry about King Ahasuerus, and it might have been because when he got married, he reduced taxes. He reduced the taxes in the provinces because he was so happy that Esther, he had been blessed with Esther, that he reduced taxes. Well, that's a good reason to reduce taxes. You're happy with your wife, right? And so anyway, taxes are reduced, and these guys are mad, angry for some reason. The scriptures don't tell us exactly right, but they plot to kill him. So Mordecai, there's old Mordecai right there, right? So Mordecai goes and tells Esther, hey, Esther, you better go tell the king. You know, these two guys want to kill him, and they're plotting this. And so the king heard, and Esther told him, and then these two guys, the two angry assassins, were hung, okay? Now comes in another guy. Problems don't leave. Two assassins are gone, but there's one guy, and this evil Haman. Actually, those little things that they eat are supposed to represent his ears. That's kind of a joke, okay. But evil Haman, here he is. Why is he evil? Well, he was the number one official over everybody next to the king. So the king is the big ruler, but next to him is this guy named Haman. And Haman said, hey, you know, I really appreciate this king, but would you make an order, a law that when I walk the streets, people will bow down and say, you know, what a great guy you are, Haman. And the king said, okay, I don't mind doing that. You're a good man. You're a good official. And so he goes out on the streets, but who do you think this guy is here standing up? Anybody? Yeah, I heard it. Who said it? Mordecai, right? So that's Mordecai, the cousin, little man, and actually Haman's name means the magnificent. So the magnificent walks up, but little man keeps standing there, you know, and he says, hey, I can't do this. You know, I only bow down before one, and that's Jehovah, my Lord God. That's the only one I bow to, not to you, no. And from that day forward, he started to plan not only Mordecai's death, but the death of all the Jews. And that's where he's casting lots. He's trying to find God's will. Keep throwing these stones out to where he discovers not the day he believes that he's supposed to kill Mordecai and the Jews. And that's where we come up with a new law. He tricked King Ahasuerus to make an evil law, and that's kill all the Jews in the kingdom on the 13th day of Adar. That's a Jewish month. The 13th day of Adar. So the law has been sent out, then taken to all the provinces. Couriers went out hurriedly by order of the king, and the decree was issued in Susa the citadel, and the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Susa was thrown into confusion. So here they are, these guys on their horses, taking it to those 127 provinces, you know, from India to Ethiopia, and then in Susa itself. And the guys are upset. You know, what is this? You're going to kill the Jews? What kind of law is this? And what's going on? Ahasuerus and Haman are having a drink of wine. No big deal. Well, when Esther heard the news, you think she was happy? Nah, we know better. She was really sad. She didn't know what to do, what's going to happen. Well, that's when Mordecai came and said, Esther, you know what we got to do? You got to step up now. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house, including your cousin Mordecai, will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this to step up and to save it. Would you go in there and tell King Ahasuerus, don't do this? You know, and she says, okay, I know it's time for me to step up, but you know, there's another hurdle I got to go over, and it's this no invitation rule. Boy, they had enough rules, didn't they? Yeah. And this one was, you can't walk into the king's presence unless invited. And if you came into the king's presence uninvited and he doesn't hold out his scepter to you, and you'll see that in just a minute what a scepter is. If he doesn't hold out this king's stick to you, you know what that means? You get killed on the spot. So Esther knew this is going to take some bravery. And so she said, okay, cousin, would you please go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf? That means don't eat. Don't eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. Now, I wonder if that guy's been fasting. That's okay. I'm sorry. But anyway, if you've gone 3 days and three nights with nothing, boy, your mouth gets dry and but if you got doing business with God in prayer over a decision you got to make as a individual for your family or for something very important in your heart, you know, fasting is really good to clear your head and to really listen to God. And don't eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my young women, those are those seven ladies she has helping her, they're very close friends by now, will also fast as you do, and then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. And Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him to. So she's going to go talk to the king, but only after this prayer and fasting. And this is supposed to be a kind of a photo of Mordecai praying and fasting. So she goes in, and this is the bulletin cover. What a lovely cover. Thank you, Ellen, for putting this one on. If you got a bulletin, it's just worth it just to take this home, clip it out, and put it on the door or on the refrigerator for the week. All right? It's beautiful, beautiful. So there she is. She's bowing down, and can you barely see it? That's coming there. There it is. Okay? And that means, hey, there's my gorgeous queen. You know, I love you so much. You can come and talk to me about anything. I'll give you half of my kingdom. What do you want? You know? And if it had been me, I said, hey, I want you to get out there and go get Hammond and kill him, and all these other guys are going to try to kill the Jews. You know, that's the way I would do it. But what does she say? You know what would be nice? If we could have lunch today or supper. I don't know what meal. But if we could just have a feast, just you and me, honey. And could you invite Haman, the three of us? I said, sure. And so when Haman heard, he said, man, you won't believe it. I'm being invited to this feast. So he goes to the feast, and he's having a great time. And then King Ahasuerus says, Esther, now really, what is it you want to ask of me? I know it's more than this, this feast with Haman. He says, I'll be glad to tell you, only if you and Haman will feast with me tomorrow. Feast number two. This woman must have had something from God to be, give her such patience and such a humility. She's not using her position as the queen, the most beautiful woman to whom half the kingdom of the of Persia would be given to demand. No, she's very respectful toward the king. So Haman leaves, and what does he see? He bumps into Mordecai again, and you see Mordecai's he's just sitting there on the bench. He's not going to fall down prostrate and say, you know, yeah, we love you, Haman. No, he's not going to do that. So the Magnificent walks by, and he's troubled by this. He's upset, and so he gets home, and this is his wife. This is supposed to be, this guy is Haman, and that's his wife, Zeresh. And Zeresh says, hey, honey, don't be sad, you know. And the friend said, yeah, don't be sad. I mean, you just had the greatest time with the king and the queen, and you're getting to go back tomorrow. Don't let this Mordecai guy get you down the dumps. You know what you should do? What everybody should do, you know? What's that? Let's go build a gallows and hang him, you know? Let's build a 75-foot high one. And then you just go tell the king tomorrow morning and when you go see him, and we can hang Haman in the morning, and then you can go to the banquet and have a great time. Boy, now we understand why we're calling him evil. He listened to his wife and his wife's friends, and he said, okay, that sounds like a good deal. It's big, 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 75 feet. How high is it up to there? Anyone? 50 maybe? Is that 50? Okay, 75 feet would be even higher than up there. So he'd go, wait. Everybody will look up and they'll see, hey, Mordecai. No. That's not going to happen. You know what happens? This is a great story. I couldn't cut out the good bits, okay? I've left out some little things, but I got to give you the big bits. That night, they built the gallows, really big high gallows. And it's ready for Mordecai the next day. But that night, the king couldn't sleep. And it's not because he heard about this gallows. No, that's not it. He just couldn't sleep. And so what do you do when you can't sleep and you're king of Persia? Hey, would somebody read to me? Boys and girls, do your mom and dad read to you? No? How many have moms and dads that read to them? I mean, before they made the movie, I read The Lord of the Rings to our kids. We had a fantastic time. It's great going through a book. Read with your kids. If you can, mom and dads, read with your kids. Purim, they read Esther, right? This is the Jewish tradition. It might be something we could do, you know. Read the book of Esther with your kids this week. Make it kind of a goal. But King Ahasuerus can't sleep at the night, and they come in the Book of the Memorial Deeds, and what do you think they read about? This story, the two assassins. Remember that? King, there's these guys, and Mordecai, as it was recorded, Mordecai is the one who warned you. You know, he's a guy. He said, well, what did we do for Mordecai? You know, how did we honor him? Sorry, we didn't do a thing for him. What? This guy saved my life? And we had two guys hanging, and he didn't even get a reward or something? So next morning, this guy is Haman. He wears different outfits, changes his appearance a little bit. But anyway, Haman comes in, and he says, he wants to tell about the gallows, right? And before he can get a word out, the king says to him, "What shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor?" And Haman is thinking, "Ooh, he must be thinking about me. Well, king, if I was a king and could honor somebody, this is what I would do." And Haman said to the king, "For the man whom the king delights to honor, let royal robes be brought, which the king has worn, and the horse that the king has ridden, and on whose head a royal crown is set. And let the robes and the horse be handed over to one of the king's most noble officials. And let them dress the man whom the king delights to honor, and let them lead him on the horse through the square of the city, proclaiming before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor.'" And guess who led who? Here's, again, Haman's changed clothes. And this is Mordecai. The tide is changing. The table is turning. The death of Haman is coming. So he gets home back to his wife, and he says, he told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him. Then his wise men and his wife said, "Uh-oh. If Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is one of the Jewish people, is of the Jewish people, you will not overcome him, but will surely fall before him." And once they said those words, the scripture said, "Knock, knock, who's there?" "King's escort, time to go to the feast." How many of you guys know this story? All right, thank you for staying awake. Okay. Royal escort arrives to take him to the private banquet. Once again, he's not so happy right now. He's confused a little bit. He doesn't know what awaits him. Again, "I'll give you half of my kingdom, Esther, whatever it is, whatever you want to do." He said, "Well, you know, something bad's happening, and it's this guy, Haman. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. If we had been sold merely as slaves, men and women, I would have been silent, you know, if you just made us slaves. But no, for our affliction is not to be compared with the loss to the king. They were going to kill us. They're going to kill us all." And Esther said, "A foe and an enemy, this wicked Haman." Then Haman was terrified before the king and the queen, and the king was so mad, he got up and left and had to go calm down for a little bit. When he comes back, he sees Haman kind of clawing at his wife and just begging for mercy, and it's at that point that the king thinks he's attacking his wife, and he says, "Okay, guys, take him out and go," and somebody said, "Why don't you go hang him on the gallows he built for Mordecai?" And so that's what happened to evil Haman. All right. Well, Haman's job was given over to Mordecai. Mordecai and Esther, by the king's permission, came up with a new law. And this new law was that you go tell all the Jewish people throughout my provinces and in the city of Susa that they can defend themselves if they're attacked by other people. And if they win, they can take all the belongings to the people who attack them. Well, 75,000 enemies were killed and 800 in Susa. But they did not touch one thing. They did not take any property, any gold, jewelry, money, anything from these people. But they defended themselves when attacked. So there were still that many people who wanted to fight the Jews and kill the Jews. Mordecai was honored. He was made the number one guy. And the household of Haman and his belongings, if you want to call it in today's term, all of his corporations and financial investments were transferred to Esther. And Esther said, "Okay, why don't you take care of it for me, Mordecai?" And so all of those riches were given over to Mordecai. Then Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal robes of blue and white with a great golden crown. Mordecai. and a robe of the fine linen and purple in the city of Susa shouted and rejoiced, and the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. Roberto and worship team guys, all you big leaders out there, it's okay to get excited and jump around and have fun. There's times we celebrate. It's okay to do that. And boys and girls, you help us do that. That's okay, all right? That's just as much worship as very, very quiet worship. Sometimes we're supposed to just be very quiet and listen to the music on the piano play very softly. Other times, like this one, is a time to party. So the Jewish people know how to party, right? And in every province, in every city, wherever the king's command and his edict reached, there was gladness and joy among the Jews, a feast and a holiday, and many from the peoples of the country declared themselves Jews for fear the Jews had fallen on them. I'll be a Jew, yeah. I mean, wow. You know, God's blessing you people, I'll be there. Okay. Esther in chapter 9, 29-32, she, keeping a Purim commanded by her and signed into law by Mordecai, the Jew, and Queen Esther. So you can read all about that. Became a law for the Jews. History of Israel goes from Genesis to Esther. The wisdom books follow, and then the prophets. What does this lady have to do with you and me? I'm not Jewish. No Queen Esther means no King Jesus. No King Jesus means no kingdom of God. Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all nations and teach them to observe everything I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. And, you know, he tells us if you want to really follow God, you got to love him with all your mind, heart, and soul. And, you know, while you're at it, you got to love each other as I have loved you. But you know what? Most important thing that you seek first is what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. We want our lights to shine in Discovery Bay. We want our lives to matter in Hong Kong and in China and Asia and from all those different nations from which we hail. And we've been gathered here by God's Spirit at this time, at such a time as this. The Almighty Sovereign God is working behind your life, boys and girls, and your life, mom and dads, in ways we cannot explain fully. But it is a significant matter. And the king came to earth to do what? To die, that great love for us. So what? So we could become royal priesthood, a royal nation, sons and daughters, princes and princes of the living God. Your life matters for such a time as this. And who knows? Perhaps this is the moment for which you have been created. Flying an airplane for the glory of God. Teaching school for the glory of God. Being a good steward of others' financial investments for the glory of God. Speaking to my neighbor whose marriage is crumbling, bringing comfort for the glory of God. Helping people who want to know how to parent better, and we do need to know that. How to love our wives, how to love our husbands. All of this, we need to grow. But God doesn't exist to make us healthy, wealthy, and wise. He exists to make you and me like Jesus, his son. To reign with him forever and ever. Esther's a big light. She's a big light of the Jewish history. But I have no idea what kind of light you are. But it could be together we burn bright for His glory and DB. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for every man and woman, boy and girl who's listened to this sermon. It's gone a little long, but as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's table, we do so knowing that You are the King and we are Your people. What a way, sovereign God, that You spared the people of Israel. And so we pray, come have Your way now. Have Your way in my heart, King Jesus, as we celebrate You. Not eating little, what do they call those things, Aussie Hamans. No, but we eat the bread and we drink of the wine in remembrance of You. Thank You, thank You. In Christ's name, amen. So we do have to examine ourselves before we take of the bread and the wine. If there's anything in your heart that, you know, just be honest with the Lord. It was so interesting this morning in the little prayer time before we came down and before the kids came up, there was a person and I said, you know, God, I just want to be a kingdom man. When we eat this bread and we drink this wine, we are saying we're kingdom people. And we're not great at seeking the kingdom first, and we're not great at seeking His righteousness first, but we want to do that. We want You to make us, Lord, to be people who do that. So check your heart out. Look at everyone here. That's all right, whoever you are crying, that's all right. This is Family Sunday. Look around you. You know, when we come down here and we eat this bread and drink this wine, we're not saying that anyone is more kingdom oriented than the other person. What we are saying, though, is what? We're all saved sinners through Christ, who gave His body and shed His blood for us. Could I ask the elders to come on down, guys? Come on and help me distribute the elements, and we'll get going. On the night that our Lord was betrayed, He took the bread and he broke it and He said, "This is My body given for you. Eat in remembrance of Me." Because we can quit forgetting, you know, it's all about Christ. It's not about our activities. It's about Christ. His body given for you, given for me. And likewise, He took the cup filled with wine and He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, My blood shed for the remissions of sin, My blood shed for you. Drink in remembrance of Me." And every time you eat and drink, you do so, you proclaim the Lord's death until He returns. And when He returns, you talk about a feast. It's coming. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you know He died on that cross for you, and you believe that, you are more than welcome to come to this table to eat and drink in remembrance of Him. So come. This table is for you. It's for me. Only because of our faith in the perfect life and sacrifice of Jesus.